So we're 3 weeks into Lent. How's it going? This is right in the real, in the meat of the season. Do you have it all figured out yet? If you do, let me know. Because I certainly don't. But I think there's one thing about our spiritual lives is we're not supposed to have it all figured out. There's supposed to be an unpredictability about it because there's that aspect of God that we can't know. We can know a lot about Him. We can know Him. We can have that relationship with Him. But there's still always that edge, that thing there that we don't know, that is always on a surprise for us. If we had it all figured out, if we had God all figured out, we'd be greater than Him. And we would be in control. Moses found God was unknowable. He was well educated. He was raised in the family of the Pharaoh. He had everything society, everything money could give him. He had a great education, all the power, all the riches. And yet he finds himself forced from home on the run. And while he was in this foreign land, he is given this girl in marriage. And now he's serving her father, tending his sheep. It's not a very prestigious position. Certainly not what he was accustomed to. And so he finds himself today on this mountaintop with the sheep. And he sees this amazing sight. It's not the fire so much as amazing, but it's this bush that is burning and is not being consumed. It just continues to burn. So he heads over there. He wants to check it out. And on his way over, he stopped right in his tracks. Moses, Moses, come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for you're standing on holy ground. This voice calling him by name. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Joseph. He comes and reveals himself in the land of the Midianites. His promises to an Israelite nation that is in captivity in Egypt. He promises to bring them to a new land filled, flowing with milk and honey. God's not limited to any time or place or nationality. It's very difficult for Moses to comprehend. So he asks God, you're sending me. Who should I tell them sent me? And God tells him, I am who am. God gives himself this new name. When we name something, even our children, oftentimes it's from heredity. You know, it's generation after generation after generation. But naming something also gives us a little bit of control. We've categorized it. But God will not be categorized. This definition, I am who am, is another way can be read is I am always. So it's this statement that God is, He always has been, but He's also active in our lives. Something that can be grasped, but is also something that is very unknowable at the very same time. It's a promise of deliverance. It's this promise that God will be with His people. This will be their name for Him for all generations. God might not appear to us in a burning bush, but He will come and surprise us in ways we will never expect. St. Paul experienced this as he was on the road to Damascus. Christ comes to him, knocks him to the ground, reveals all of these things to him, and now he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's warning them, don't be complacent in your spiritual lives. He draws connections from the Israelite people in Egypt to those Corinthians of his day. And it is a warning for us as well. The Israelite people were baptized into God's people with Moses passing through the Red Sea. They were fed with manna. They had this spiritual rock, this water flowing with them. And it flowed with them throughout their 40 years. But they remained far from God in their hearts. Despite everything that He had done for them, they continued to grumble and turn away. St. Paul warns us that just because we're baptized, just because we are blessed to receive the body and the blood, the Eucharist, they're not guarantees of our salvation. Christian life requires Christian living. That's why it's called the practice of our faith, is because we have to put it into practice. Our faith, if it can simply be boiled down to a few external obligations, our eternal salvation, I believe, is at risk. We're called to more. We are called into a relationship with the living God. who was, who is, and who always will be. We're invited into that relationship. This overconfidence that the Pharisees experienced when they're talking about these events in their lives, in their country, when some Galileans had gone to offer sacrifice. And Pilate had sent his army in there and wiped out the Galileans, and then he had taken their blood and mixed it with the blood of the sacrifices of the animals. So Jesus asked, was this done as a punishment for their being unfaithful? Then he asked, how about those killed when the tower fell in Siloam? Were they killed as a result of their sin? The Pharisees were overconfident. They were in the habit of judging by the effects. God punishes sinners. These people were punished. They were killed. Therefore, they were sinners. But Jesus stops them. Just as the voice calling out to Moses stopped him right in his tracks, Jesus' words, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Not something they were expecting. The law is not enough. So Jesus gives us the parable of the fig tree. He tells them, coming to this tree after 3 years, again and again, and finding no fruit on it, the landowner would cut it down. This was at the end of Jesus' public ministry. How long had he been going? 3 years. And the Pharisees still did not believe. And so it was a warning to them that he would cut them down. They refused to believe. They were as hard-hearted as the Israelites were in the wilderness, rejecting Christ and his teachings. They were so confident in the externals. They were so confident in the law that they were expecting a Messiah. But it would be a Messiah who would conform to their definition. It would be a Messiah that they would name. And their hearts grew harder and harder. And Christ came into their lives and in ways that they would never imagine. And he comes into our lives in ways that we can never imagine. They had refused to repent. They had refused to take that gift that was right there. That gift is right here for each one of us as well. All we have to do is to be humble enough to open our hearts to receive it. Lent gives us that time to do just that. To take that step back. To see where God might be calling me into that relationship. Where he might be calling me into repentance. Where I can grow in my faith with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To see how I'm using those gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And especially right now, that gift of time. If my faith simply relies on the externals, if I'm simply go on wishing for the old days when I could memorize a few things out of the old Baltimore Catechism, when I could follow the rules, when they were very clear on the Sundays and on the holy days of obligation, on the days of fasting, on whatever it might be, I can throw in a couple novenas, maybe a rosary here or there, and then it's good. And if that is what it is to be a Catholic Christian, I'm not so sure that that is all that there is. Because where is that relationship in that? That's simply based on the externals. Beautiful things. We need those things. They're good and they're great, but they're a foundation. They're a foundation that we build upon. They're a foundation for a relationship with a living God. We need more. We need the God who lies behind all of these things. God doesn't want a bunch of puppets that he just jerks a little string and we go. He wants sons and daughters. He wants sons and daughters who are in love, and he wants sons and daughters who love. He wants to surprise us. And he wants us to allow ourselves to be surprised, to know that we don't have him all figured out. The one who sent Moses on his mission, the one who sent Paul on his mission, this great I Am sends us on a mission. And he has an invitation for every one of us. It is a mission that only we can fulfill. So if your Lent has begun a little sluggish, be confident. If your Lent needs to be restarted, restart it. If your Lent needs that, you know, that power off button so you can reformat. And give thanks to God. Especially now that we have time, while there is still time.